You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. All the signs of springtime point to it. Baseball season is here, and commentator Gary Borders is thinking about those boys of summer and how it's so hard to keep track of all of them these days.
Major League Baseball began its season a couple days ago. For many teams, the opening pitch was thrown out on April Fool's Day. That will prove to have been prophetic come mid-September. Early autumn is when we fans of the teams that didn't make the playoffs cease deluding ourselves. Our team will be at home watching the World Series on television once again. It doubtless will be on fancier televisions than we own, since even a 220 lifetime hitter with feet of clay can afford the best, making on average $3.2 million a year. Hope springs eternal in the breasts of baseball fans this time of year. The scribes wax eloquently about America's pastime in newspapers and magazines across the land. That phrase, hope springs eternal, recently was used to describe the start of baseball season in USA Today, the Orange County Register, the Globe and Mail, and countless blogs. My favorite blog belongs to the Sob Sisters. They are fellow Red Sox fans whose motto is, because it's never too early to panic. I was born a Red Sox fan. It's part of my genetic code. Until 2 months shy of my 13th birthday, I lived in New Hampshire, surrounded by a horde of Red Sox fans. Grandparents, my mother, aunts, uncles, a bevy of cousins, and all my friends. We rooted for a team that stunk most seasons. My dad was the sole holdout, a Cardinals fan. The Sox had enough success to keep hope alive over the decades. Then came the first decade of the 21st century, a glorious time indeed to be a Red Sox fan. The team won their first World Series in 86 years in 2004, ending the curse of the Bambino. That curse came from trading Babe Ruth to the Yankees after the 1918 season. Best of all, the Red Sox won in 04 by taking four straight from the Yankees after being down 3-0. Then they swept the Cardinals, my dad's favorite team, in the Fall Classic. 3 years later, the Sox were back in the World Series, and I was sitting in Fenway Park for Game 1. That was magical. Expensive, but magical. A memory I'll recall in my dotage while rocking on my front porch. The second decade of this century hasn't been kind to my beloved team. The only player left from the 2004 squad is David Ortiz, Big Poppy, a tree trunk of a man. Everyone else from that gutsy, free-spirited team is gone. When I looked, only 7 names on the 40-man roster listed on the Red Sox website were familiar. That's my primary complaint about baseball these days. I don't begrudge the players getting paid tens of millions of dollars. Nobody complains about Ashton Kutcher making $24 million a year to replace a babbling Charlie Sheen on 2.5 Men. Well, I guess the folks running the television studios complain all the way to the bank. My complaint is that teams trade players so often that only the most fanatical fan can keep up. The days are long gone of a player coming up through a team's farm system, making it to the big show, and playing out one's career with a single team. These days, it isn't unusual for a big leaguer to play for a half dozen teams or more. I know, I sound like a curmudgeon, but hope springs eternal in my middle-aged soul as well. With a bit of luck and good fortune, I hope to be seated in Fenway Park this summer, eating a ballpark dog and singing Sweet Caroline before the bottom of the 8th inning. Since it's only April, I can still dream. In the meantime, let's play some ball.
Gary Borders is an East Texas writer. You can see more of his work at GaryBorders.com.